From Jakarta, here is the Voice of Indonesia with English program. Presenting news, information, and entertainment from Indonesia. You can listen our broadcast and online streaming via voanews.id.
Listener, how are you today? It's nice to meet you again with me, Rahma, to accompany you in 60 minutes ahead. In today's edition, we would like to present some information starting from news from across the country, and so forth. Also, there are Indonesian pop songs. Well, listener, let's begin with the news. Stay with us, Voice of Indonesia, on the frequency 3325 kHz or 4750 kHz, www.voinews.id, and RRI Playgo mobile app.
This is Voice of Indonesia with the news. First, the headlines. President Joko Widodo ensures stunting reduction in all regions. Indonesia and Japan discuss labor issues on the sidelines of G20 meeting. Now the news in detail. Indonesian President Joko Widodo has stated that the government will take serious action to ensure that the prevalence of stunting in all regions nationwide continues to decline, allowing the 2024 target to be achieved. He made the statement during a visit to the Sari Mulyo Public Health Center in Seluma District, Bengkulu on Friday to review stunting prevention measures and regular health check for infants at the centers. He said he wanted to ensure that all the children and infants there are healthy and that the stunting prevalence rate will continue to decline every year. Indonesian Minister of Manpower Ida Fauzia and the Japanese Minister of Health, Labor, and Welfare Katsunobu Kato discuss several labor issues on the sidelines of a G20 meeting in Indore, India on Friday. As quoted by Antara, one of the issues discussed was the presence of labor policy advisors from Japan in Indonesia, which, according to Minister Fauzia, is very important to support labor development. She further conveyed that some of the benefits of having labor policy advisors include updating information on Japanese labor regulations and policies and increasing the ministry's human resource capacity through the Sarushi program in Indonesia. Director of Health Promotion and Community Empowerment at the Indonesian Health Ministry, Widiawati, said the government's target of realizing a golden generation by 2045 requires raising healthy and quality children from now on. During a media meeting on Friday, she pointed out that preparing for the golden generation of 2045 means preparing healthy and quality Indonesians, especially the younger generation. Indonesian Minister of Finance Sri Mulyani Indrawati emphasized Indonesia's commitment to addressing climate change and pursuing green economy during a meeting with World Bank Group President Ajay Banga in Gandhinagar, India last Tuesday. According to her, this is because the green economy is the first pillar of Indonesian national economic transformation. As quoted by Antara on Friday, she said that Indonesia responds positively to support from many in implementing the energy transition mechanism, particularly in putting coal-based power plants into early retirement. She also explained that the World Bank is also expected to support Indonesia in its endeavor. This news broadcast is coming your way from Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. Russia's Navy carried out a live fire exercise in the Black Sea, the Defense Ministry said on Friday, days after the Kremlin declared it would consider ships traveling to Ukraine to the waterway potential military targets. As reported by CNA.com, Moscow's forces also struck the Black Sea port of Odessa for a fortnight in a row hitting green silos. Malaysian Prime Minister Anwar Ibrahim attended the Malaysia-Vietnam Business Forum 2023 on Friday, July 21st, held within the framework of his official visit to Vietnam from Thursday to Friday. As reported by vovworld.vn, at the event, Prime Minister Anwar said that Vietnam and Malaysia set out to reach $18 billion in bilateral trade turnover by 2025, but have already exceeded the goal. He reiterated Malaysia's commitment to promoting green, sustainable, and environmentally friendly economic growth programs, calling on Vietnamese businesses to further strengthen their cooperation with Malaysian partners in the field. Last item, Israeli forces have killed two teenage Palestinian boys in the occupied West Bank, Palestinian officials said on Friday, which is the latest bloodshed amid continued violence in the region. As reported by aljazeera.com, one teenager identified by the Palestinian Health Ministry as 17-year-old Muhammad Fuad Alta Al-Bayit was shot in the head by Israeli forces during unrest in the village of Safa, which neighbors Ramallah. That was the end of the news. I'm Anna Trijaya Kasih, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. The first news comes from Batang, Central Java. The government of Batang Regency, Central Java, carried out the cleansing of 70 heirlooms of the region, consisting of 55 spares, including the Abirowa spare, 14 krisis, and one sword on Tuesday, July the 18th, and Wednesday, July the 19th, in a series of commemorating the Islamic New Year, which fell on Muharram the 1st, 1445 Hijri, or Suro the 1st in Javanese calendar. Acting Regent of Batang Lani Dwi Rejeki on Wednesday said that the commemoration of the first Sura night was an effort to preserve the cultural heritage in the local government. The first of Surah's Eve activity was also completed with the Abirawa spearhead loom's procession by the heirs and a handover of the Abirawa spearhead looms by the acting regent of Batang to the heirs after cleansing on Wednesday. The next news comes from Solo, Central Java. Mangkudegaran Castle in Solo, Central Java, also held an heirloom procession on the eve of the first date of Surah month on Tuesday. The heritage procession of the first Surahs in Pura Mangkunegoro was led by the grandson of the first Indonesian President Sukarno, who is also the first son of Mangkunegoro IX, Paundra Karada Jiwo Suryonegoro. In the month of Surah this year, there were four heirlooms that were paraded, followed by family and relatives of the Mangkunegaran Temple, also Central Java Governor Ganjar Pranowo and Surakarta Mayor Gibran Rakabuming Raka. The celebration of the first Surah Jimawal 1957 or the first Muharram 1445 Hijri in Solo, Central Java was held with two processions, namely from Mangkunegaran Castle and from Surakarta Hadiningrat Kasunanan Palace. The latter was held on Wednesday night by displaying procession of albino buffaloes called Kiai Slamet. The latest news comes from Surabaya, East Java. The Surabaya City Government cooperates with the United Nations Economic and Social Commission for Asia and the Pacific, or UNESCAP, and the United Cities and Local Governments Asia Pacific, or UCLG, ASPEC, to develop a smart city ecosystem. Expert staff for the Mayor of Surabaya for Politics, Law and Governance, Afghani Wardana, in his statement in Surabaya Wednesday said, the Surabaya City Government is collaborating with UNESCAP and UCLG ASPEC to play an active role in educating all levels of society to create a smart city in Surabaya. This collaboration was realized by holding a matchmaking and networking event Smart City Innovative Lab in Surabaya on Tuesday. Afghani conveyed several points that must be met, including smart economy, smart mobility, smart governance, and smart living and environment. These points are excellent initiatives and programs that have been carried out by the Surabaya City Government in realizing a smart city. Afghani said Mayor Eri Cahyadi wanted the various technology-based programs run by the Surabaya City Government to run according to this vision. By involving the private sectors and universities, it is hoped that they can explore potential and educate the public in realizing Surabaya as a smart city. That was news from across Indonesia.
Voice of Indonesia International Quiz 2023 is coming back. This year, Voice of Indonesia International Quiz 2023 has an essay writing competition about one of Indonesia's five super priority tourism destinations: Borobudur, Lake Toba, Likupang, Mandalika, and Labuan Bajo. Choose one destination you are interested in and write an essay about it with a length of 700 to 800 words in Arial 12, then make a recording of it with your own voice and send the essay and the audio to our email voiquiz2023@gmail.com. This essay writing competition is open from April 10th until August 20th, 2023. The selected winners, one participant for each language services, will receive attractive prizes from Voice of Indonesia. The selected winners, one participant for each language service, will receive attractive prizes from Voice of Indonesia. The winner will be announced on the 78th anniversary of Radio Republik Indonesia on September 11, 2023. The winner will be announced on the 78th anniversary of Radio Republik Indonesia on September 11, 2023. For more information, please visit our website voinews.id and Facebook The Voice of Indonesia. Be prepared, pronounced, you become one of the winners.
This is Voice of Indonesia with Today in History. We begin with an event on July 22, 1917 about Adam Malik that was born. Haji Adam Malik Batubara was an Indonesian politician and former journalist who served as the third vice president. Prior to that, he served as Speaker of Parliament, Minister of Foreign Affairs, President of the United Nations General Assembly, and a journalist. Adam Malik was designated as one of Indonesia's national heroes on November 6, 1998, based on Presidential Decree No. 107/TK/1998. In 1956, he assumed office as a member of the People's Legislative Assembly, which was born from the general election. In 1962, he became head of the delegation of the Republic of Indonesia for negotiations between Indonesia and the Netherlands regarding the West Irian region in Washington, D.C., the United States. Afterwards, the negotiation resulted in the preliminary agreement on West Irian. His highest career achievement was achieved when he succeeded in holding the position of Vice President of the Republic of Indonesia, who was appointed by the People's Consultative Assembly in 1978. He was the second Minister of Foreign Affairs of the Republic of Indonesia, who was trusted for a long time in this position after Dr. Subandrio. As Minister of Foreign Affairs in the New Order government, Adam Malik played an important role in various negotiations with other countries, including the rescheduling of Indonesia's debt left by the old order. Let's move to another event of 1994 when writer Ko Ping Ho passed away. Asmaraman Sukowati, or Ko Ping Ho, was born in Sragen, Java Island on August 17, 1926. He is a writer of silat stories which are very popular in Indonesia. Ko Ping Ho is widely known for his contribution to Indonesian silat martial art fiction literature, particularly those with Chinese-Indonesian themes which cannot be ignored. For 30 years, he has written at least 120 stories. Despite writing silat stories set in China, this prolific writer could neither read nor write Mandarin. He draws a lot of inspiration from Hong Kong and Taiwan silat films. Ko Ping Ho works, especially his silat stories, have an important meaning in the hearts of his readers in Indonesia. His works have become a rare source for Chinese culture, history, religion, and even morality, although these works are actually just Ko Ping Ho's fantasy castings. Ping Ho remains deeply impressed and even becomes a character builder for his fans. His fantasy-filled work aroused curiosity and a desire to learn more about Chinese or Chinese culture among his readers. He passed away on July 22, 1994 due to a heart attack. We end today in history with the event on July 22 when Sarawak gained independence from the United Kingdom. Sarawak is a state of Malaysia. The state has autonomy in government, immigration, and judiciary that differs from the states in peninsular Malaysia. Sarawak is located in northwestern Borneo and is bordered with Sabah to the northeast, Borneo, the Indonesian part of Borneo to the south, and borders on Brunei. Its capital city is Kuching, which is the economic center of the state and the seat of Sarawak state government. Sarawak gained full independence from Britain on July 22, 1963. 2 months later, Sarawak joined the Federation of Malaysia. Well, listener, that was Today in History from Voice of Indonesia.
Kota ini.
You are still tuned to Voice of Indonesia from Indonesia to the world at the frequency 3325 kHz or 4750 kHz, www.voinews.id or RRI Playgo mobile app. Listener, the next segment is My Indonesia.
Voice of Indonesia.
Today's My Indonesia is entitled Indonesia Takes a Big Leap to Realize the Golden Indonesia Vision in 2045. The Indonesian government continues to make various efforts so that Indonesia is able to get out of the middle income trap. Steps taken include infrastructure development, human resources capacity, innovation research and business development, policy and regulatory transformation, data management and security, to increasing investment and financing sources. These pillars of economic transformation are also the main support for realizing the vision of Golden Indonesia 2045 as stated in the National Long-Term Development Plan 2024-2045. This was conveyed by Coordinating Minister for the Economy Erlangga Hartarto conveyed this when delivering a keynote speech on behalf of President Joko Widodo at the Indonesia Data and Economic Kata Data 2023 event on Thursday, July the 19th. Minister Erlangga explained that the economic transformation was carried out in order to achieve the target in 2045 in the form of a nominal gross domestic product or GDP of $9.8 trillion, occupying a position as one of the top five countries with the largest GDP in the world, and then gross national income or GNI per capita of $30,300. The portion of the population with middle income is 80%, the contribution of the manufacturing industry to GDP reaches 28%, and employment of 25.2%. According to Erlangga, to realize the vision of Golden Indonesia 2045, the government is carrying out transformation, namely big leaps that can only be achieved with courage, strong determination, and hard work. One of the superior potentials that can be utilized by Indonesia to realize this goal is through improving the quality of human resources, whereby the total workforce in 2022 reached 68.63% of the total population of 274.9 million people. The government continues to optimize the use of demographic bonus opportunities by preparing the younger generation as millennials to be competitive and relevant according to industry needs and able to create jobs. Efforts to improve the quality of human resources have been realized by the government, including through the pre-employment card program, which since 2020 has provided training benefits to 17.7 million participants. Besides that, Indonesia also has advantages in abundant natural resources such as very large mineral reserves. The government has committed to increasing the downstreaming of superior commodities so that the competitiveness of domestic commodities can continue to grow. Going forward, the government will continue to make efforts to broaden the scope and deepen the downstream process to products that can meet the needs of domestic and global industries and households. Coordinating Minister Erlangga emphasized that the government is also intensifying infrastructure development that is comprehensively designed through various national strategic programs and projects in all regions of Indonesia, which so far has reached 156 national strategic projects in the last 8 years. That was My Indonesia Today.
Selama ini
Voice of Indonesia.
VOI listener, today's edition of Indonesian Wonder takes you to Papua, which has a lot of interesting marine tourism spots. One of them is a beach tour on Harlem Beach, which is located in the village of Tablanusu, Depepre District, Jayapura Regency, Papua Province. Harlem Beach is the prettiest one in Jayapura, Indonesia. Harlem Beach is a long stretch of white sand and green hills as the backdrop of the beach. With clear water, visitors can see the colorful corals from the surface of the water. This beach is perfect for those of you who like diving. Coral reefs, sea fish, and other marine life can be found when you snorkel. The waves of this beach are not too big because the beach is a bay area. There are many coconut and sago trees that grow on the beach, making the atmosphere very shady, accompanied by a slow breeze. At Harlem Beach, visitors can also enjoy tourism activities, such as sunbathing, fishing, and even playing beach volleyball. Harlem Beach also has a freshwater pool, which is about 7 meters from the beach. The condition of this area is unique because a beach with salt seawater is directly adjacent to a freshwater pool. In fact, many tourists who visit this beach often rinse their bodies in this freshwater pool after being satisfied to play in the sea. In this pool, where the water is very clear, there are also several types of fish. The local people say the pool was formed naturally hundreds of years ago. Harlem Beach has great charm, especially at sunset. The breezy wind will be the perfect companion when enjoying the sunset. The situation on Harlem Beach, which is very quiet and calm, actually makes it attractive for tourists. For those of you who want to travel to Harlem Beach, you must first go to a pier in Papua, known as Depepre, which is about 48 kilometers from Jayapura City. After you reach the pier, you can then continue your journey to get to Harlem Beach location by using a boat with a maximum capacity of 10 people. For the cost of the round-trip crossing, you have to pay from 300,000 to 400,000 rupiah, or from 20 to 27 US dollar. For those of you who are looking for peace and quietness, Harlem Beach is the right choice for your holiday destination. Well, listener, that was Indonesian Wonder from Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia to the world.
Stripes and lonely, hiding, wishing, waiting. Well, I am here. I am. I'm standing still, stare at you only. Everything has bloomed. All I want is just to stay. You can't shake me. I will never dare.
You tell me, what did I do?
Well, listener, here is Miss Eleni that inform you about interesting events that occur in Indonesia.
VOI listener, today's Miss Eleni presents you information about Ubud Writers and Readers Festival, which is one of the world's leading literary festivals. This festival, which brings together famous writers and artists, has been held in Ubud, Bali once a year since 2004. Initially, this festival was initiated to heal the trauma of the Balinese people due to the 2002 Bali bombing tragedy. Now, Ubud Writers and Readers Festival is preparing to celebrate its 20th anniversary on October 18 to the 22nd. This year, there will be many favorite writers and artists attending this special festival. Ubud Writers and Readers Festival 2023 has the theme Atita, Wartamana, Anagata, the past, the present, and the future. Jeanette Denefe, as the director and initiator of the festival, said the Ubud Writers and Readers Festival 2023 will show the festival's journey for two decades as a form of celebration of art and literature and its growing community. Not only presenting literary art exhibitions, Ubud Writer and Reader Festival 2023 also has a series of other interesting events, including poetry readings, panel discussions, writing workshops, question and answer sessions with artists, and inspirational speakers who come from all over the world. Some of the speaker names that have been released by the festival organizers are Wade Davis and Shehan Karunatilaka. Wade Davis is a distinguished professor of anthropology at the University of British Columbia. He wrote an astounding 23 books that led to degrees in anthropology and biology from Harvard, as well as a PhD in ethnobotany. Meanwhile, Karunatilaka is a Sri Lankan writer who won the Booker Prize through his novel entitled The Seven Moons of Mali. Apart from them, there are a number of other big names such as Annabel Crabb, Kate Pullinger, Geraldine Brooks, and many more. Besides foreign writers, of course, Ubud Writers and Reader Festival also invites a number of big names in the world of domestic literature. There is Sujiwo Tejo, who is not only a writer, but also an influential cultural figure in Indonesia. Then there is Dee Lestari, one of the most popular writers in Indonesia. For 2 years in a row, Dee won the Reader's Choice Award in the fiction category and favorite writer at the Indonesia Reader's Award. Besides Sujiwo Tejo and Dee Lestari, authors of the mega bestseller Sitel Stories, Leila S. Kudori, also participated in this festival. Well, listener, that was Miss Eleni from Voice of Indonesia.
Thank you. Voice of Indonesia International Quiz 2023 is coming back. This year, Voice of Indonesia International Quiz 2023 has an essay writing competition about one of Indonesia's five super priority tourism destinations: Borobudur, Lake Toba, Likupang, Mandalika, and Labuan Bajo. Choose one destination you are interested in and write an essay about it with a length of 700 to 800 words in Arial 12, then make a recording of it with your own voice and send the essay and the audio to our email voiquiz2023@gmail.com. This essay writing competition is open from April 10th until August 20th, 2023. The selected winners, one participant for each language services, will receive attractive prizes from Voice of Indonesia. The selected winners, one participant for each language service, will receive attractive prizes from Voice of Indonesia. The winner will be announced on the 78th anniversary of Radio Republik Indonesia on September 11, 2023. The winner will be announced on the 78th anniversary of Radio Republik Indonesia on September 11, 2023. For more information, please visit our website voinews.id and Facebook The Voice of Indonesia. Be prepared. Who knows, you become one of the winners.
From Indonesia to the world.
You are still listening to Voice of Indonesia from Indonesia to the World, 3325 kHz or 4750 kHz, www.voinews.id or RRI Playgo mobile app. Listener, next segment is Music Corner about music information in Indonesia.
Voice of Indonesia.
VOA listener, in today's Music Corner, I'm going to present a keroncong song entitled Terkenang-kenang by Nadia, accompanied by Tong Cerongan Swastika. The song Terkenang-kenang was composed by Ismail Marzuki, an Indonesian noted composer. Its lyrics are so romantic and accompanied by melodious keroncong rhythm. The song tells about a woman who is fascinated by the handsomeness of a man. She was amazed at first sight, which makes her always remember it in her heart. The woman always imagines the smile and the look in the eyes of the man. The woman also hopes that one day she will be able to meet the man again. Well, listener, here is Nadia featuring Tong Cerongan Swastika Orchestra with the song Terkenang-kenang. Enjoy!